A globally recognized coach and speaker visiting Rochester this week is challenging people to be more authentic. Ritu Basin says that embracing our own unique qualities is not only the path to empowerment and personal success, it's the foundation for a more inclusive world. Basin will deliver the keynote address at Saturday's FLX Women's Conference, Women Rising. WXXI's Beth Adams talked to her recently.
Good morning, Ritu, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Beth.
Since so much of your work focuses on the importance and the power of authenticity, let me start by asking, how do you define it? How do you define authenticity? What does it mean to you?
So based on my work and research in this space, I define authenticity as the consistent practice of choosing to know who you are, to be who you are, and to embrace who you are as much as possible. And so you'll note here that I started with by mentioning that it's the consistent practice of choosing. It's not a destination, it's the actual journey. It's the moment by moment, minute to minute decisions that we make consciously and unconsciously to have an understanding of who we are. So that's the know yourself piece, the embrace yourself piece, that's the understanding who you are, and then standing and stepping into your power of being who you are. And then the be yourself, it's the actually putting out pieces of who you are as much as possible.
How did you come by this focus? And, you know, you'd think that being your authentic self would just come naturally to us, right? So why do we need reminders to be more authentic? What gets in the way of it?
So my experience is very similar to what a lot of people have experienced as it relates to changing who they are, masking aspects of their identity. I learned from a very young age that the more I put out my authentic self, tied back to my cultural identity, so you can't tell this, but I'm a woman of color, and I come from a religious minority group. I am a Sikh. Sikh, and Sikh is spelled S-I-K-H. My faith is called Sikhism. I am a Sikh, not Sikh, the correct pronunciation. And I experienced, unfortunately, a lot of bullying as a child, and racist childhood bullying at that. And so from a very young age, I internalized messages that as a smart young girl, I shouldn't have had the courage to be smart. I learned that in order to be accepted and have doors opened up for me in terms of friendships and relationships, I needed to push down my brownness and play up my, I'm just like you, white people, I can be just like you. And I also, because my parents were immigrants to the country, I didn't grow up fancy. And so it was a lot of me learning to act fancier than I am. And unfortunately, while on the surface, those actions of me conforming to fit in helped to create some relationships and some doors opening, ultimately the adverse impact is it hurt my self-esteem and my self-confidence. And then, of course, I took my woundedness into my adulthood where I entered the workplace. And the workplace, the messages around conformity I found were far more subtle and nuanced. It wasn't you should act more like a man to get ahead of the woman, or you should act more white to get ahead of the brown person. It was far more subtle and nuanced, but I experienced conformity there as well. And I became a lawyer initially, and in the legal profession, the messages around conformity were almost insufferable. And so ultimately my journey and overcoming the constant pressure to mask and conform who I am is what inspired me to become a diversity and inclusion speaker and consultant, and then ultimately to do all this research and write my book.
And when you find yourself in a position where people are telling you, you know, just conform, fit in, don't really be who you are, do it this way, I would think that's a big neon flashing sign too, that maybe you're also in the wrong place or in the wrong career.
Certainly, but the problem is it's never direct and overt. So for example, when women talk about experiencing gender bias in the workplace, it's never that someone says to them, oh, you know what, you're a woman, you can't get ahead. It's more the they walk into a boardroom and we're not greeted. Or when we're speaking in a meeting, we're interrupted. Or if you ask people of color, what are the messages around conformity that you're getting? No one ever says to you, okay, well, like, go and, well, sometimes you get messages like, well, we building relationships are really important in this industry. You should learn how to play golf because most business deals are done on the golf course. Some of us do directly get messages like that. And we didn't grow up with parents or in communities where golf is number one accessible, let alone culturally relevant to how we would be socializing and connecting and more. So sometimes it's direct and overt like that, but it's usually far more subtle and nuanced. It's the you laugh and someone raises an eyebrow at how loud you're laughing, or you walk into a room and someone scans you up and down and looks at what you're wearing or is staring at your hair, or you're noticing that the person on your team who speaks in a really extroverted way and whose accent is more similar to the accent of the leaders and whose emotional expression is more similar to the leader's emotional expression in your team, that's the person getting the better work, that's the person getting the mentorship and sponsorship, and that's the person who's ultimately getting promoted. So along the way, you start to realize the way I'm speaking and dressing and behaving and what I talk about and how I speak, it's not being rewarded. Maybe I should act more like him, that person over there who's naturally being the same way as the leader, to get ahead. And so it's more subtle and nuanced. And this is the problem with the constant messages to change who we are. It's insidious because it permeates most of workplace culture, which is why two things must occur. Number one, we must teach leaders and those who hold power and privilege in society we must teach them to become more aware of how bias or certain behavioral preferences impact the way in which they are judging and evaluating talent and more. So that's the first thing. But then the other thing we need to do is be in a place where we, when you come from a diverse community or you come from, or there's something unique and different about yourself, it's important for us to learn about how to be empowered, to embrace our differences, even though judgment might be coming our way, or even though there's a fear of judgment, to stand in our power.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. When you started to really embrace and stand in place with the qualities that make you uniquely who you are, did you get a lot of pushback, and how did you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about this, both in my book, The Authenticity Principle, and I just did a blog about this as well. I blog often about the negative consequences of being authentic. So, you know, that advice to be yourself or just always be your authentic self, sometimes it can have negative consequences. But those of us who see the benefits of pointing out who we are as much as possible, we do it anyways. But we're mindful of the negative consequences. So I would say when I started revealing more of who I am, and I did this immediately within my among my family members and friends, there was pushback and people were like, who is this new Ritu? Like, what's this all about? And it did cause relationships to adjust. Like, I drew boundaries in places where I didn't have them. It was uncomfortable for some of my beloveds. I actually shed friends as well when I started to live more in my, live more for my authentic self. And so that was an adjustment. But you know, here's what's so interesting. Ultimately, I'm happier now than I have ever been. I think the quality of my relationships are so much better than they have ever been. And the most interesting part of all of this is professionally, I am more successful than I have ever been. Why? Because I'm in being me, I reveal not just what's so amazing about me in my life, and I feel blessed and grateful for everything that I do have in my life. However, I'm more vulnerable about how, like, life is really hard, and sometimes my life really sucks, and it feels like it sucks, and I'm struggling, and it's like I'm trying to catch my breath, and I feel overwhelmed, and more. And when I do this, when I be authentic about my vulnerability, I feel that my clients, the people I work with, interact with, come across, they're drawn to me and connect with me in so much more of a meaningful way. And so one of the best lessons I have learned in not only doing this work, but living in alignment with what I call the authenticity principle, it's also the title of my book, is I had feared back in the day that if I reveal to you my vulnerabilities and my insecurities, not only will you, number one, judge me, but secondly, you'll take your love and your affection and your acceptance away because you'll see that I'm not perfect. You'll see that I'm imperfect. And one of the most incredible lessons I have learned in doing this work and living in alignment with the authenticity principle is that the more I actually show you my imperfections and my vulnerabilities and my insecurities, like basically the truth of who I am, the more you will be drawn to me and the more you will embrace me. Why? Because I feel like a safe place for you because you're living like that too, and you need a safe place to fall. And it has caused me to thrive, not only personally, but professionally as well. It's been such a gift, Beth, and for anyone out there who is really struggling to live better or to feel more confident or to find their voice, I can tell you that committing to living in alignment with the authenticity principle literally transformed my life, and it will for you too.
I could talk to you for another half hour. I know you don't have a half hour. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Can I squeeze in one more question, or do you really have to
go?
Okay.
No, please do. Go ahead.
I want to circle back to something you said at the beginning, and the first step you said is knowing who you are. And if we go around getting these messages to conform and to, you know, do it this way, do it the mainstream way, how many of us have trouble at least at this outset knowing who we really are?
Oh, I would say that this is a fundamental challenge or barrier for so many of us. It certainly was for me when I finally took a step back and realized, wow, I have been conforming for so long. I actually don't know who I am anymore. I feel so lost in my identity. And so for a lot of us, we become lost. And I hear this all the time. It's why I have spent so much time in my book talking about the yourself concept. And I do that online as well. When we struggle to really have a good sense of who our authentic self is, it requires that we do some heavy lifting, heavy self-work around self-reflection to better get to who our core is. It's a matter of figuring out, what are my values? What are my preferred ways of being? What are my preferred ways of behaving? What are my interests, my hobbies, my best traits, what are areas that I have that are not so good? So the good, bad, and ugly of who I am. Let me figure that all out. And then it's really a matter of, like, who do I actually want to be? Like, what part of me do I want to put more of that out there into the world? And so we can do this. I talk a lot about this online in my book, like self-tools that we can use to help us assess. But therapy has significantly helped me. I've done a lot of journaling. I do a lot of reading in the self-development, self-help, well-being space. I've done extensive numbers of workshops, as in I have been the attendee. Like, I now deliver those workshops, but I also continue to attend them. I've done meditation retreats. I've done yoga retreats. I've done group healing circles. I do go online all the time to read articles about self-help and self-healing. So there's a lot of things that we can be doing. Some of it we have to pay for. Some of it is free, because a lot of my resources are free, for example. You can go online and poke around and find some tools to help you with this work.
Oh, Richu, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And
bless.
And I'm going to pick up a copy of your book today, The Authenticity Principle.
Thank you so much. And for anyone who's looking for free resources, you can also check out my website, RituBasine.com.
Richu Basine, a pleasure talking to you, and we'll see you in the Finger Lakes.
Thank you so much. Be well.